Okay, this section of our class is all about advanced psychic self-defense. And before we get into the advanced stuff, I want to say that I want to announce this for those of you who came in late, not to point out that you were late, but just that to re-announce this. So what I announced at the very beginning of class was that I felt very strongly that those of you who were supposed to be here to hear, to be in the physical energy of talking about this topic, are the ones who made it today, because we have a small class, and some people have reasons why they weren't here. But one of the reasons is that those who were not supposed to be here for this topic are not here, and those who are supposed to be here for this topic are here. And what we're going to get into today is not for the faint of heart. So you will leave here with lots of tools and information, but it's definitely not an easy topic to talk about. Actually, the psychic self-defense, the fluffy stuff is really easy to talk about. Like, here's how you burn sage and stuff like that. Here's how to clear your house after an argument, things like that. That's the easy stuff. We're going to talk about the stuff that's not so easy to talk about. And I was considering the last couple of days, I was thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't really go quite so in depth, because I was concerned about making you guys uncomfortable. Like, you know, I don't know, making you worried or scared or something like that. And then I thought, well, I would much rather make you uncomfortable and give you knowledge, because knowledge is power. So that's my philosophy on this. So first we're going to do a brief review about the easy stuff, and then we're going to get into more details. So I'm going to bring your attention to this handout. This is a handout that I referred to 2 months ago at class. It's the top says psychic self-defense, and it's a 2-page handout. After class 2 months ago, I posted it on the Facebook group, and I just have this funny feeling that a lot of people maybe didn't see it or didn't download it, but I will repost it again, okay? So I highly recommend that you look. Yeah, I will post it either today or tomorrow, and then I highly recommend that you download it or print it off. It's basically just a whole bunch of notes about lots of basic stuff. So the first section, we actually went over all of this 2 months ago, but just to recap, talking about what's out there, and how you can be impacted by the emotions and intentions of the people around you. So a lot of the real basic self-defense is about dealing with yucky energy at work, you know, a relative or a person in your community who is a real negative person and doesn't have very good energy. And when you're around them, you just feel kind of, maybe you get a headache or you don't feel well because you're picking up on their energy. Or maybe somebody in your world who is what we call an energy vampire, somebody that likes to hook in an energy cord into you and just like suck your energy. Those are really common types of like everyday psychic self-defense issues. And so that was what we talked about a couple months ago. And let's see, what else do I want to go over from the handout? I you can actually, like I said, a lot of this handout is pretty self-explanatory. I give a list of what things could make you more vulnerable to picking up on energies that are not so good for you. And one of the most important things that can make you vulnerable is drugs and alcohol, especially overconsumption of alcohol. Ongoing negative behavior or negative, like if there's someone who's really negative and dark all the time, then they can become more vulnerable to energy attachments that come in. Let's see here. Some things to keep in mind. Trust yourself. If it feels bad, it is. Just trust yourself. Dina and I were talking about this before class, that a lot of people actually do pick up on stuff, like something doesn't feel right, but they just blow it off. They say, well, I'm probably just imagining it, or maybe I'm just overreacting. Or I've had experience with this where I would be like, that can't be true. Maybe I'm just paranoid. And a friend of mine, actually, what was it, 6 weeks ago, she said to me this thing that I'll never forget. She said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're not right. So maybe you are paranoid, like something's not right, this does not feel good. And you could maybe describe that as feeling paranoid. But that doesn't mean that you're wrong about what you're picking up on. So remember that we so often write off what we're feeling. Also, another really important point from 2 months ago is don't assume that other people know as much about energy and clearing as you do. Don't let them be responsible for what happens to your energy. What do I mean by that? Let's say you go to a spiritual event or a yoga studio or what have you. And I have seen this so many times that, and I don't mean any disrespect to, I'm not trying to pick on yoga teachers, but I'm just using this as an example. I have met so many yoga teachers who are so awesome at teaching yoga and so trained, so well trained, but they don't have a clue about how to clear and maintain the energy of their space. So what's happening is their students are on the floor doing poses and then they're seeing a ghost or whatever. Because they're very open. I mean, doing yoga really opens up your energy and opens your third eye. So again, I'm not trying to target any, you know, particular people, but I've just seen that so many times. So, y'all know the grid of protection that we always do. There, whatever techniques that you have for protection, no matter what spiritual event you're going to, well, of course, if it's a non-spiritual event, if you're getting ready to walk into Walmart that has yucky energy, you're going to want to do whatever your favorite protection is before you walk into a place like that. But I think a lot of times we bring our guard down when we're going to a spiritual or healing or yoga or what have you type of event. We just kind of assume, I say this from my own past experience, that I used to just assume, well, of course it's going to have great energy. And I would expand my aura out really big. I'd be like, yes, I get to go to this whatever activity. And I would go in and I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, we're at a drum circle and somebody three people down is getting possessed. I say that because I have a certain amount of sight. I'm able to see things that maybe not everyone else can see. But I'm looking at this going, you know, this person is like shaking and crying, and I'm saying, why is the person running this event not doing something about this? That was a real, I kept having that happen over and over and over again last summer, where I would go to a prayer circle and the room was filled with ghosts. And I thought, do they not know how to sage? Has this room never, ever been saged? Ever? I mean, it was another one of those examples of like, these situations kept being put in front of my vision, right in front of my eyes, like over and over again, to where I was like, why does this keep happening? Well, part of it is that I'm supposed to teach this, that even if you don't have, even if you possibly don't have or don't yet have the vision that I have, you just still, you now have the knowledge to clear yourself, protect yourself, and don't assume that just because it's a spiritual class or a drumming circle or whatever that sounds really neat, that they have cleared the space, or that they, you know, maybe there are people there who call in entities that you don't want any part of. Because that's the other thing is, you know, if there's a lot of people at an event, all sorts of different people of different backgrounds might be coming in. And one of the things that's on this list on your handout that can make you more vulnerable is purposely calling in low vibration entities. Now, we're all sitting here going, why would you do that on purpose? But there are people who do that. There are. And I'm not coming from a place of judgment. It's just an FYI. There are people who, you know, choose to work with all different kinds of vibrations in the universe. And I personally have a very strict rule of my own, and that is that I never work with low vibration entities. But for, you know, everyone on the planet has a different moral code and a different ethical code. We're all unique, and I know many people who specifically believe that there is nothing wrong with calling in all sorts of entities that we all wouldn't want anything to do with. Because they are like, it's just part of the whole, you know, and they work with everything. But calling in low vibration entities, actually, they do not have your best interest at heart. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to be telling you some things during this segment that you can take it or leave it, but I'm going to tell you what is my truth, okay? So any low vibration entities never have your best interest at heart. Most the main thing that they want to do is feed off of people, and like a vampire kind of effect. And they also love chaos, and they want to create chaos and hurt people. And so like I said, I know no one in here is going to be calling in that sort of thing, but there are people who do. So if you go into an event and there's a variety of different people there, then you are going to be informed and empowered, because you know that you've done your daily energy clearing protocol, whatever that might be. And if you walk into an event, or maybe it's not an event, maybe it's going in to work with a healer. All healers are supposed to be good, right? They say they're working with angels, or they say they're working with light, so that means that they're okay, right? Supposedly, but I am here to tell you that not everyone is who they say they are. Okay, whether they know it or not, there are some people who have, you know, stuff attached to them. And so what I'm saying is, whether it's going to a healer or going to an event or something, if something doesn't feel right, then you don't have to go in there. And you might not know why you feel funny or why you get a weird feeling. You might not ever know what exactly it was that gave you that feeling, but you trust yourself enough to listen to that. And you can say, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't right. I've realized this isn't a good fit for me. Because it's, you know, it's possible that maybe they are fine. They're not working with evil. Maybe they are just such a different vibration that it would not be the right fit for you. Like in the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they are working with some nasty energies. And if you work with them or if you go to that group circle or whatever it is, you're going to have tons of energy cooties that you're going to have to clean off of you afterwards. Okay? So it's about trusting yourself. Now on page 2 of the handout, again, this is reviewing stuff that we did 2 months ago. So I'm not going to go over this list, but this does give you several different techniques to clear your energy. Okay, to clear your energy and to keep you strong. The main thing is, on a daily basis, you want to be keeping your aura and your chakras strong. So if you're never doing Reiki or whatever technique you choose to use on yourself, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to be doing whatever method you choose to help your chi, your energy, to be strong and vibrant. And in most cases, just the general energy that you bump into, the yuckies out in the world, are not going to affect you because your energy is strong and vital. Okay? But if you're weak because you don't ever get, you're not getting enough rest, you're sleep deprived, you're exhausted, you're stressed out, or using drugs, other things that make you vulnerable, then those kinds of moderate energies are going to affect you. So take good care of yourself, and also do your energy protocols for yourself. Okay. So, I'm going to pull out one of these techniques from the handout of ways to keep your energy strong. You can visualize white or golden light filling your whole aura. So do that right now. Just imagine white or golden light filling your aura. Now imagine it expanding and filling the whole room. Filling the whole house, and now even the yard. You can do this, what we just did, you can do this in your own home. You can, it took you 5 seconds to do that. And it's so super powerful to do that. Super powerful. I have Maya's top 6. This is not on the handout, or actually it is kind of scattered through the handout, but I've put it into my top 6. Actually, I'm going to add it to the handout before I upload it, so it will be. These are my top 6 for either clearing energy or strengthening your energy. Sage, number 1. Number 2, Maya's special energy clearing spray. That's what I love to use. Actually, even if you don't have that spray, if you put water in a bottle and send Reiki or prayers or intentions or spell work or whatever you want to do over that water and then spray it in the room, that helps too. So number 1 was sage. Number 2 was spray. Number 3 is using sound to raise the vibration. That can be sound healing music that I play, that we've got playing right now in the background. Bells. This tuning fork that I use is an angel tuner and raises the vibration and it calls in angels. Drums. So any kind of sound healing. Prayers. Prayers are another thing. And by prayers, I would say use whatever fits with your tradition. Okay? Use whatever fits with your tradition. And I'll just say, sometimes even traditions that you're no longer practicing anymore, but that you were raised with, can be super powerful. So I was raised Catholic, and I'm no longer a practicing Catholic, but I have found that in times of dire need, when I was dealing with some pretty nasty, nasty energy, some of the prayers from my Catholic upbringing were very powerful. So even if you're not practicing something anymore, remember that all of that is still in your subconscious mind. And it's still, your subconscious mind believes that it's powerful because that's what you were fed when you were growing up. That's what you believed. So whether it's Catholic or Christian, the Lord's Prayer, or any other tradition. Okay? So prayers.
Is that another sound or was that a whole new
one? No, that's a whole new one. So that's number four, prayers. Number five, sacred objects. Like I said, I'm not practicing anymore, but with everything that I went through in the last 6 weeks, I went out and bought a rosary and I started wearing it. Because I know that deep down in my consciousness, I have a belief that this is super powerful and that this will protect me. You may not believe that about this. When I look at your pentacle, I can see how powerful it is for you. It's very protective for you. And, you know, some of you have, and I noticed your cross as well. I almost commented on it. I've complimented you on it before. That is super powerful for you. So everyone is different. Everyone's different. But sacred objects, that could be jewelry. It could be, actually, I've got two stones. I just dropped my phone. I've been using stones. I'll have to dig in there and get it. I've got rose quartz on my electronic devices were affected by a psychic attack that I went through in May. And so I've just been daily clearing everything. And so my sacred objects could also be like this rose quartz that I could be wearing it on my body, or I could be placing it on my device so that it's constantly deflecting any negative energy. I had a black stone on there too that fell off. It's a black tourmaline. Black tourmaline tea. Yeah. Yep. Black tourmaline deflects negative energy. Black tourmaline. But it could be any sacred object. There's a lot of sacred objects all throughout my home. I've got mala meditation beads. I've got statues of goddesses, gods. Have you noticed that there's more angel statues around my house now than there were before? So the place is filled with sacred objects.
Also, when you're dealing with psychic attack, a stone that is particularly good for you to at least think about is fire agate.
Fire agate.
Because that not only deflects it, but it sends it back from whence it came.
Good. Fire agate. A-G-A-T-E. It not only deflects negative energy, but it sends it back from where it came.
Fire agate.
Next on my top six, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is number 6, so that would be my top 7, actually, because there's one more. Next one is salt. Salt. Now, that could be taking a saltwater bath. That could be, I was joking with Dina before class. I said, that you have a very weird and interesting life when you launder your bed sheets and when you're remaking your bed. Part of remaking the bed includes sprinkling consecrated salt between your sheets.
What? Bless you.
Yeah.
Bless you.
And I was using spray. I was using rose water and holy water. And for protection at night, but we'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, it's funny now, but wasn't funny. But you can use salt. You can actually sprinkle salt in front of your doorways, you know, in front of your entrances, around your bed. And taking a salt water bath is great for maintenance and self-care, energy maintenance and self-care. If you're dealing with something really major, like a major psychic attack, or there's ghosts in your house or things like that, and you feel in danger, then that's when you want to put like salt, you know, in your bed. Sea salt. Sea salt or Himalayan salt, things like that. So not your... I mean, if you don't have anything else, you can use any kind of salt. You can use Epsom salt or iodized salt. But if you have sea salt, that's much better. Yeah, because it has iron in it. It has iron in it.
How about kosher salt?
Kosher salt is good, too. Especially, what you want to do is either get salt that's already consecrated, but I don't even know where to get that. So you could probably go to a New Age store or something. But you know Reiki, so you just pray over it. You do your Reiki symbols.
Epsom salt has magnesium in it.
Yeah, I would say use... What I've been taught is sea salt is the best. But use whatever you feel called to use. And then the last on the list is... using your and using any type of sacred symbol. Now that also kind of goes back to what we were talking about with sacred objects, because some of them are sacred symbols. So the Star of David, the cross, the pentacle, any, especially symbols where multiple thousands of people have put prayers and intentions into that symbol, no matter what faith it is from. Okay? Especially if it's a faith that you believe in now or used to believe in, it will have, that symbol will have more power for you. Reiki symbols would be in this list. Shoku Rei. Any of the other symbols. I was taught that Hon Shazei Shonen, the distant symbol, is great for, if you have a ghost in your house, it's great for releasing that spirit so it will go on into the light. That's the distance Reiki symbol, if you can't remember. That's the big long one that's hard to write, it's hard to memorize for a lot of people. Okay. Okay. So that's the easy stuff to talk about. Now we're going to talk about the hard stuff. Well, it's only hard if you need it to be hard, because it's, as I've been saying, knowledge is power. So I have a lot of notes here I want to go over. Okay. So there's a few key points that I want to cover. And as we're going, if you have any questions, don't be shy. So a lot of this information is that I'm talking about today is based on some things that I've probably known all of this for a long time, but it's just become extremely crystal clear and very solidified in my mind because of the last 6 weeks. And so those of you who came in late, I'm going to re-explain this, that at the beginning of May, just recently, I began to experience a psychic attack. And psychic attack can be all sorts of things. It can be just someone sending negative vibes, negative juju, and you just can kind of feel that oppressive kind of feeling, or you feel like there's negative vibes coming your way, and you can just sort of sense it or feel it, or you feel kind of tired, or you feel kind of like more negative thinking than you normally do. That's more of a mild psychic attack. That's how it started, but it became more and more and more severe every week. It was like I would clear out one cycle of it, I would clear out, I would clear everything out. I'd be like, yeah, I'm strong. I know how to, I have all my tools. I'm doing my sage. I'm doing all. And then the next wave would come in and it would be stronger than the last. And I'd be like, wow, this is more than I thought it was going to be. And then I would clear that out. And then the next wave would come in to the point where there were actual entities attacking me. And it says, so this is what I'm saying. This is like not easy stuff to hear about. And I don't want you to get up and leave the room as I'm talking about this, because if you just stay present and this all ends with an empowerment, okay? But the reason why I mean, obviously it would take me hours, literally hours, to share all of the details of what happened. But I will say a couple of key points. That one of the problems was that I didn't know where it was coming from. And because I didn't know where it was coming from, it was hard for me to figure out how to stop it. Because all the normal techniques that should usually work, none of it was working. Okay. And I mean, everything that you would use, all the techniques that I have on my list that I give you, I want to tell you, normally that all should work for you. But I'm going to teach you some really important things today that you will know, so that because if I had known this ahead of time, it took me like how many weeks to figure this key information out, and I'm going to share it with you. Because it enabled them to continue to have access to me, even though I was doing tons of protection, and I was doing it all right, all correctly, but it still had access. So, and it got very severe. So some of you saw on Facebook, I was posting these things like that probably I was posting things like please pray for me, I can't give details about what it's about, but please send energy, because I was like, I can't explain this on Facebook. So that's what it was about. I don't have any personal dramas going on in my life. It was about this. Okay. I have dealt with psychic attack before, where someone about 12 or 13 years ago decided that they were upset with me. They, in hindsight, I can see that they were a person that had a lot of drama in their life. And so for whatever reason, they decided that they weren't happy with me. And so they were someone who practiced magic. I'm aware of that. Magic is not bad. It's like any religion is not bad. It's if someone can choose to make something good or bad. And this person chose to send really dark magic to me. This was 13 years ago. And but they were not like a master at what they were doing. And so once I figured it out, I was able to clear it with all my with all the normal techniques. So that was somebody who, you know, was purposely sending dark stuff. I'm just giving you a comparison here. I was able to clear it with all the stuff that you already know how to do. Sage, especially emotionally, making sure that you don't get into fear, because that's how it wins. It's like a bully. If they know that you're afraid, then they'll just come on even stronger. So once I realized that, I just cleared my house and I was like, yeah, talk to the hand. Like, I don't have time for you. And then all that energy left. And then I've also lived in a house that was horribly haunted and had one of the one of the spirits that was haunting it was the most evil spirit I have ever. It was like evil. I can't even describe it. I had experiences with that about 15, 18 years ago. And that was kind of scary and unsettling. And some other psychic things in my past too. But this situation was the most confusing, and with all those things that had happened in the past that I was able to clear with all my normal techniques, it didn't work. And that was the most actually, sometimes what happens is when we have too many fans on and the air conditioner, and the whole neighborhood has all their fans on and their air conditioners, because that's what it felt like, because it was like a brownout.
Definitely brownout.
Yeah, but after we're done with this, we will also do some clearing. What? Some what?
Drumming.
No, we're going to do something different. But yes, we'll make sure. So what was weird about this was that nothing was working. I would clear it out, and it still kept coming stronger and stronger and stronger until it was actually pretty dangerous. I took 10 days off because was clear that it was not just your typical psychic attack. I took time off. I didn't work on any clients. I didn't have any classes. And by the way, everything is cleared now. But it's interesting that we're having a brownout right now. Yeah. That first
kitchen light.
Okay, please come back.
Yes.
Okay, because we are clearing and ending on a very empowered note, so I don't want you to leave on a, Okay, I'm just being very clear with that. Okay, so now we're going to leave that story, because I know I haven't gone into details, but just explaining how extreme this was. So this situation gave me some crystal clarity about some things, and I was also able to learn about some techniques that are more advanced, and so I'm passing that on to you all. So I will say, just to close up that story, that I discovered I discovered who the person was, it was like a mystery novel. It really felt like that. I discovered who was sending this, and there were two objects that I had obtained from them, an amulet and a book, and they were sending energy through those two objects that were supposed to be about angels. Okay, but I'm going to explain how that was working. But both of those objects have been burned and disposed of properly. And those were actually portals. And so those portals they no longer exist. So now what has been happening for numerous days is just clearing and cleansing and raising vibrations and all of that in this space.
How'd you figure out that's where the source?
Yeah, it's a really complicated story. Okay, I will tell like a sliver of it in such a way that it makes sense without knowing all the previous part of the story. So there was one morning when I was doing my normal morning yoga on the floor here. And I was like, okay, all this crazy stuff has been happening, and this is my new normal, I guess, for now. I'm trying to figure this out. And I was trying to stay calm and collected and figure it out. And then I was doing my stretches, and I was kind of in this, like, clear mind. No thoughts, you know. And I got up to put the yoga mat away, and there was a book that I had left right on top of the counter there, and suddenly I saw the book differently, and I realized that what was supposed to be an angelic picture there were actually demons on the cover of the book, like hidden in the artwork. And I wasn't just seeing this with my psychic vision. It comes to find out, I took a photograph of the picture of the front cover, and I sent it to two friends, and I asked them what they saw. And they said, "Holy shit, there are demons on that book that's supposed to be about angels." And then I had a very long phone conversation with my friend who has also been under attack, was, and we recounted all of these events, and I said, as soon as I bought that amulet at her event, thinking that it was a protective angelic amulet, we went back, we backtracked, and I said, the night that I went to that event and I bought the amulet, by the next morning, there were all these demonic attacks. Literally by the next day. And it continued and continued. And we said, but we can't believe that about this. How could that possibly be true? This person is nice. And my friend said, why don't you remove those objects and then see what happens? And by that time, the attacks were constant. This was when I had to take off from work. It was not just happening occasionally. It was all the time, stuff attacking me. And I took it and I moved it out to the garage. And literally, I mean, within a moment, it looked like it all dissolved. It was like it just dissolved. It disappeared. Poof. And I had no more attacks at all. And then for 24 hours. And I'm like, okay, that's really interesting. So I think it was coming from that object, from those two objects. And I was trying to figure out, do I need to get rid of that stuff completely? And yes, it is not. It's not in the garage anymore. Don't worry. It's gone. But then that next day, I had a conversation with someone who is very close to that person. And I didn't come out and tell her everything that happened, but I said, please be careful. People who say that they are of the light might not necessarily be. And I said, one way that someone can have access to you is through objects like amulets and things like that. And she was wearing, you know, she has one that she wears all the time from that teacher. And so if she would have put two and two together, she would have known what I was talking about. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I should be telling this person this, but she is an acquaintance of mine, and I felt concerned about her. And then that night, there was an attack that I would say was life-threatening, that actually there was an entity that tried to rip my spirit out of my body. So, remember I said this stuff isn't easy to hear? I wasn't even sure if I was going to say that, because that's fucking scary. I'm sorry, but it is. And I was not imagining it. I mean, I'm a tough cookie, but I was hyperventilating for 3 hours after that happened, because I just want to tell y'all that, you know, in our classes, in New Age and spiritual teachings, there's like blinders on where they say, you know, just focus on love and nothing can harm you. Well, I was focusing on love. So I want to tell you that you sometimes just focusing on love is enough. Like if it's a mild attack, but if it's something really nasty, then you have to balance it with powerful techniques to get rid of it. So I took those objects and I burned them, and for an hour was burning them and was saying prayers that are powerful for me. Because I got to tell you, I have not been a practicing Catholic for over 20 years, but I have said so many Hail Marys in the last, because I realize deep down that has power for me. And so constant prayers when that was being burned, and we actually saw images of demonic types of things coming out of the fire.
Actually, I know people who have never been Catholics who find the Hail Mary very effective.
Yes. Yeah, so I say if it works, whatever tradition is from, if it's, I mean, think of all of the collective consciousness that's been put into different prayers. So that's all been cleared out, and also in the process, I learned some very powerful techniques that are so powerful they would be used for exorcism, and I'm going to teach you what those are today. But before I do, I want to kind of go to a sideline here that's going to, I think, kind of help put these pieces together a little bit of like, well, why did this even happen, right? Because, by the way, one of the things, there was a couple of kind of, I was going to say New Age, but I don't want you to think I'm like bashing New Age, but New Thought / New Age, positive thinking. There's a couple of people who are very into that, and they said to me that if this was happening, it was because I must have some kind of evil within me. And I want to tell you that, I just want to tell you my truth is that, you know how I explained some things that can make you more vulnerable if you are, if it's someone who is a very dark person or practicing a lifestyle that's very dark, or drug addiction, dark, a lot of darkness in their life, they will be a magnet for that stuff. But also people who can be targeted are people who are truth seers, who can see through and call things out, and that's me. And so that's why this happened. Okay, so don't ever let anyone tell you, like, if you experience the likelihood, I'm just telling you, likelihood that you personally, you know, may experience a mild psychic attack from someone who's like just jealous of you or something, and you'll know how to clear that out. But if you step up to be a spiritual leader in the capacity that I'm in, then if you as a truth seer are able to see through some things that aren't what they seem, then I mean, if a dark energy is a dark energy is going to attack something that it feels threatened by. So if you're going to be a threat to it, like I was. Yeah. So these little sideline information here. One of the things that I gained clarity about is that I've noticed that, and again, this is not to disparage all of New Age, but I've noticed that in the New Age community, there's a lot of denial about anything dark. That it's everything is love and light. And as much as I would love to believe that that is true, I want to tell you, I want to clarify that our universe is a universe of polarity. We have good and bad, light and dark, life and death. I mean, polarity, that's what our universe is all about. And it's interesting, I'll see someone post like a yin and yang on their Facebook page because they're really into Eastern philosophy and maybe mixed in with some New Age stuff of how they lean. But then if they hear me talk about, you know, dark forces or dark energies or something, they say, oh no, that doesn't exist, you're just projecting that. And I'm like, okay, you just posted about yin and yang, and yin and yang, the concept is polarity. It's all one, But yet we have all of these opposites in our universe. So there's like this little brain blip, like people are like, well, I'll believe it if it feels comfortable. But if it's scary, then I'm going to say that that doesn't exist at all.
And remember, there's always a black spot in the white.
Yeah.
The white spot in the black.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So in the yin and yang, in the white spot, there's that little bit of dark. And in the dark spot, there's that little bit of light. So, exactly. So what I also came to understand is the level, the amount that, or the level of occurrences where the dark, I'm going to call it dark and light just for simplicity, where the dark is disguised as light. Now, I had seen this before. This is going to apply to all of you because you're in the healing community or in the spiritual community in some way, you know, to whatever level you are. So this is going to help you to have discernment, even if you don't ever teach, even if you don't open a business or anything, just choosing what events to go to and using your discernment about people. I had already noticed this several years ago. I was meeting healers, in quotes, healers, who I could see were abusing their power with their clients. So they were, maybe they had healing training, and they were actually sort of a healer, but there was a period of time where I was meeting and working with lots of women who had been abused by male healers, where the male healer would say, oh, you're so amazing. Your energy is just so wonderful. And, you know, can I mentor you? And then that was the first phase, you know, buttering them up and grooming them. Oh, you're so amazing. And you're the brightest light I've ever seen. And then the next phase was, you know, your sacral chakra is really blocked. You're so beautiful and you have this light, but your sacral chakra is just so blocked. And by the way, the only way to clear that is to have sex with me. Okay, it sounds funny the way that I'm putting it, but it's just absurd. And I want to be clear, I'm not talking about one guy. I was seeing it with different people. And it's not new. It's been going on for a while. And that's an example of men abusing their power, but I'm fully aware that there are circumstances where women healers can abuse their power in their own ways too. So it's not, you know, just one gender. So that would be an example of dark disguising as light, because there are, I'm going to tell you, this is true, that people, men who are, and like, I'm going to say men because I haven't seen any women do this, men who are sexual predators are attracted to working in the New Age and alternative healing communities because they can easily disguise as the light. I'm telling you, they can put on a whole demeanor like they're a guru or that they're this super spiritual person, and they encounter many, many women who are taught in their spiritual circles that all is love. It's all love. Love unconditionally. You are open to all experiences. And what that ends up equaling is zero boundaries. And so they literally don't know how to say no. And then they end up being horribly abused by someone. And then in the aftermath, they're confused and they wonder, you know, they think that it was their fault. So that's one example of the dark disguising as the light. Another example of the dark disguising as the light would be a healer who has not worked through their personal shit, their old traumas and their emotional stuff. They haven't worked through it, and because of that, they have been a match for an entity to attach to them. Actually, there's two ways this could happen. It could be somebody who had a lot of abuse and trauma in their childhood or their adulthood and hasn't worked through that, and so then they've ended up being a target for an entity attachment. Or someone who knowingly asks for that to come in so they can have more power. It can happen either way. So where the person is really a victim of a parasitic energy, but they might not even know it, which I believe is the case in this situation that I had. I have so much compassion for the person, this healer, because I believe that I know from what she shared with me that she had a lot of trauma in her childhood. I believe that something came in and attached to her, and that she has no idea that this is occurring. And my heart goes out to her. But I can tell you that I know that thing that attacked me after I burned the objects, and then I talked to one of her acolytes. That thing that attacked was what's attached to her, to that lady. And it didn't speak, but it was pure energy above me. And I knew its message. It's like its energy was so, the message was palpable. It was like, I don't know why I know, but it was like, its message was, don't mess with her, she's mine. I've had a good thing going for all these years. So it is manipulating and pretending to be light. Yeah, it appeared... she thinks it's an angel. An angel does not try to tear someone's, violently try to tear someone's soul out of their body and try to possess them or whatever, or kill them or whatever the heck it was trying to do. The reason why it didn't succeed is because I'm strong. So, yeah. Again, scary stuff. The dark disguising as the light. So, not to make you paranoid. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. But that means that even if someone seems super nice, and even if someone says that they work with lovely energies, if something isn't right, something isn't right. And you have to trust that. So chances are, for you all, it would be that you go to an event and something just doesn't feel right. You wouldn't be, you know, in a position to make it lose its, like, at this point you're not going to be a huge threat. So I'm just telling you this so that you won't be like, oh my God, I'm terrified. At the very most, you would have a feeling that something isn't right, and then you would be like, I just am not going to work with that person anymore. So just trust that, okay? looking at my notes here. Okay, so now I'm going to talk to you about something really important that I learned about how it was able to gain access. So I talked about the amulet. I call it an amulet now, but it was a necklace before. But I suddenly realized that it was strongly energetically charged. So that's why I call it an amulet now. But important that I learned was something that really wasn't so concrete in my mind before. And it's that it's about something that I'll call portals. Portals are a way that someone can gain direct access to you. So you can burn sage every freaking day, 5 times a day, and call in angels and do everything that you, cast your circle, do whatever it is that you do that's going to be done perfectly. But it's not going to do a darn thing if there is a portal that allows whoever it is to gain direct access to you. So that amulet, I believe the book too, based on how that book burned, that was not how a fire should look. I'm just telling you. I think both of them had a lot of energy connected. But the amulet was, it was a portal. It actually looked like an eye if you looked at it. You know, it was like this, anyway, I won't give the specific design, but it allowed, I actually had hung it up on my bedside table thinking it was blessed, you know, and it was direct access. And it's interesting because 99% of the attacks happened at night. I never had anything happen during the day, and everything was always amazing, you know. Well, no, actually, that's not true. I need to correct myself. At first, everything was at night, but when it got crazy extreme, then it was all the time. But it first started just at night. But portals. So a portal can be an object that you've obtained from the person, or they've given it to you, or you've bought it at their workshop or whatever. That can be a stone, you know, you bought a gemstone from them. It can be jewelry, it could be a book, it could be anything. Yeah, anything at all.
Always purify stuff you buy.
Well, here's the thing. This was an object that it was suggested that you buy it and be wearing it while you were receiving the group healing session, so that it would be infused with the energy. Just like how sometimes I've invited you all to bring your crystals or buy them from me or whatever when we have a Reiki attunement, and I've said you can wear them or put them under your chair so that it can be charged with the Reiki attunement, and then you could bring that energy home. This is what that was. Crap. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Okay, talk to me after, because I can tell something's going on. Or some light bulb just went off. So talk to me after class, okay?
Okay.
It's going to be okay. Talk to me after class, okay? Okay. It's okay, honey. You're going to be fine. And your point was right on, that anytime you obtain any object, then you should clear it. But this situation was different, right? I thought it didn't need to be cleared. It was charged. But, yeah. So, especially if you buy it at a garage sale or used, it should always be cleared. But a lot of times when you get an object from like a teacher or a healer, you don't think to clear it because it's supposed to be blessed by them. Or, I mean, if there's a blessing put on it, right? So, portals. There are other things that can be portals. I love mandalas. And I also love dream catchers. Have you noticed that my house has had a lot of redecorating? I also had a lot of mirrors around my house. So I was talking to one of my mentors who used to be a professional ghost hunter. And she knows tons of stuff. She's full of knowledge. And she said, I wasn't even trying and I was able to look into your house and see. So why are there so many portals? It's so easy for me to psychically, you know, go get into your house. I said, I have no idea. I have my grid of protection. I'm doing sage. I'm doing salt. I'm doing all this stuff. Why? I don't know. And she said, well, you have tons of portals. Why do you have so many portals? And I was like, oh. And then I started to think about it, and it's like the veil lifted. This is really important for you all to know that I said, well, I have all these mandalas because I have this like big tapestry, and I have like all these designs all over my house. And she said, those are portals. You have to take them down. And I said, well, but what about my dream catchers? I love my dream catchers. And she said, you have to take them down. They are portals that for direct access. Now, if it's a tattoo of a mandala, let me think on that, because actually tattoos do have an impact on your energy. Let me think. I want to get more clear on that. I don't have a clear answer yet. One of the things though is that so I told her about all the mandalas. Even my shower curtain had 50 mandalas all over it. And so what I want to clarify, what I was talking to Dina about before class, because she said, sorry to pinpoint you, but she said, well, I have a dream catcher. Is that okay? I said, if you don't have ghosts or other things, if you're not having issues in your house, a dream catcher is nice. It's like a good luck charm. It's a nice energy. But if you ever start to have issues with weird things happening or ghosts in your house or psychic, if you feel like there's psychic attack coming your way or anything like that, then you absolutely need to remove it. You don't have to get rid of it forever. You just put a cotton cloth around it and put it away. And that's where all my dream catchers are. They're cotton cloth around them and they're put away. because cotton absorbs that, or it absorbs that energy. So if you have clothing that has a mandala on it, it's probably fine because it has cotton in it. So that dampens it. So it's not able to. My kitchen towels have mandalas on them. They're still there because it's cotton. Okay. And basically, I just used my intuition. I walked around the house, and there were some things that had cotton in them, like this big tapestry that used to be back there. It was a big red. Everybody always complimented me on it. Even though it had cotton in it, I took one look at it, and I was like, holy shit. I don't care that that has cotton in it, because that reminds me of, you know, the movie Stargate? It looked like a big Stargate, and I was like, I don't want random stuff walking through here. No one, I've never heard anyone talking about portals like this, about access, and so I'm sharing this with all of you. Because everyone just talks about surround yourself with white light, pray to Archangel Michael, blah, blah, blah. If there's a portal, if there's direct access, there's direct access. And so you need to remove that. Again, if you have a dream catcher or you have a mandala painting or something like that, if you're not experiencing any problems, then go ahead and leave it up. It's fine for now. But if you do feel compelled after talking about all of this, if you're like, I don't, like if you feel like you want to make you want to have better security around your house. It's like you don't want to leave one window unlocked, because even though there's not someone trying to get in now, maybe there would be later. So you can make that choice whether you want to remove any of that or not. So that's the very, very important information about portals. Okay. So here are some, let's see, vulnerabilities. So here's, I want to see what I want to do next. Okay. Vulnerabilities we already talked about, unhealthy habits, dark lifestyle. But I found in my own recent experience was that when I was sleeping, I was more vulnerable than when I was awake. And so if you were to practice self-defense techniques at any particular time of the day, I would suggest putting your focus with your bedroom, your bed, and before you go to sleep. So wearing a protective amulet and having sacred objects in your room. Absolutely, I'm just going to suggest that you not have anything that could possibly be a portal in your bedroom. I actually have a couple of things in the healing room that I very, very clearly, even after 3 days of going through my house, I kept being told, leave those up because there are angels all around them. There's a thing hanging on the wall, and then there's also a rug. But absolutely everything else has been removed in the house. So use your guidance. But I would say in your bedroom, any kinds of protective things that you can do. And I want to clarify, not out of fear, because if you're doing it out of fear, then that's setting you up with the energy that makes you a potential target. So you do it out of empowerment. You do it saying, I have the knowledge and the understanding of what is out there, and I am not going to on purpose walk through a bad neighborhood. I'm going to do, it's like you go and take a women's self-defense class, not because you're saying, oh my God, I'm going to get attacked. You're saying, this would be a prudent thing for me to go do because I know what's out there, even though it's probably not going to happen, but I'm doing this to be proactive. Yes, so bedroom is a good place for focus, and we're going to talk about some of the things, a few extra tools that are extra strong. Question?
Just a step back real quick, because you talked about the mandalas and some other things. You had mentioned mirrors
yes.
That, but you didn't really cover.
Thank you. Mirrors. Okay, mirrors can also be a portal. I've known for a long time that people who have issues with hauntings, or like, there are certain people that tend to be very magnetic for ghosts. Like, no matter where they live, they always have ghosts, issues with ghosts and stuff, because that's kind of the frequency that they're tuned in on. And those people cannot have mirrors. Like, they just have to not have mirrors, decorative mirrors around their house, because they do tend to come through. But and they are portals. For me, right now, the only mirror that I have in my house is the one in the bathroom, and I close that at night. Because, I mean, I'm just saying, I had the fear of God put in me when that thing happened, the most extreme thing. And so I'm not taking any chances on anything. But, like I said, if you are not having issues and you have a really beautiful mirror in your home, you could choose to leave it up, and you can draw security, like, for that would be to draw a choku ray over it and say a prayer that any portals are closed, nothing is allowed in here. Yeah. So that would be mirrors included. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Okay, so again, to clarify, all the techniques that you know how to do, like drawing the Reiki power symbol on all the walls, ceiling, floor, all of that is great. That's great. Using sage is great. But if you need something more powerful to clear out some real nasties, then some of the things that were really helpful for me were prayers we talked about before. So prayers that I knew my subconscious mind really believed were powerful. So power prayers. Holy water. I know that might sound weird, but even if you are not from that tradition, even if you're not from Catholic tradition, any sacred objects or tools that you use have the energy of the collective of all of the people who believe in that. So just keep that in mind. And so the holy water is actually blessed by a priest. So this could be something that you could consider if you would like to add this to, if you make a like a room spray, you could put holy water. That's a possibility because it is very strong. And like we're talking about stuff that's powerful, that's like exorcism strength. Sorry to be freaky, but okay. So holy water. Your sacred symbols, whether it's your cross or your pentacle or what have you. Salt. If you, you know, I know we talked about some uncomfortable things today, so just even talking about it, if you feel uncomfortable, then you can put some salt in your bed. I mean, I really do feel like everyone in here is absolutely safe, that everything has been cleared. This had to do with me being a target, not any of you, but I'm just, Mama Maya is thinking about you guys, and I don't want you to go home and be like, I feel uncomfortable, just knowing what's out there. So salt is so powerful. So if you want to sleep with something, with a protective something around your neck, and then put some salt even just under your pillow. I'm telling you, I always thought that this stuff was like, oh, it's just superstitious or, you know, whatever. But it's not just superstition as far as using salt and other sacred objects. It has a lot of power. And then I'm going to show you about some ingredients that if you ever need to clear something really nasty out of your house, then you can use this stuff. So this is like sage on steroids. Okay. So sage is going to take care of most everything. But, okay. I'm going to get my supplies out. Okay, a couple of you in here, I suspect, already know how to use this stuff. Okay, so what I have are, I have incense, but not incense sticks. This is the actual plant resin. Like, for example, okay, she doesn't list the ingredients on this, but like frankincense is a plant resin. So there's frankincense in here. So it's not just like fragrance oils. If you go to the store and you get like frankincense incense or dragon's blood incense, you don't know for sure that it has the actual plant in it. It might just be fragrance oil. So if you want something that's seriously going to get rid of stuff, I mean, there's a reason why the Catholic Church, they don't do this as much anymore, but they would have these big things where they would have incense, and it was frankincense, because it literally moves out all evil entities. So this is actually this has like multiple little charcoal bowls. This is a package of, so the incense, you can't just light it. I can't get this open. There we go. So I have an abalone shell here. But you could use any fireproof container. And then this is a charcoal, like it's like a little bowl. There's different sizes. This is the smaller size. There's a mega size. And I'm going to be using the mega size too. And then there's another herb also, or a resin, I should say, that's called dragon's blood. It's not actually dragon's blood, but it is a resin like frankincense.
Sap of the dragon's blood tree.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the sap of the dragon's blood tree. Okay. So these pieces are too big. They need to be hammered. Put a towel around it and be hammered a little bit, because you'd only use a little small piece. But then I also have this other equipment that's metal tong and spoon set. You can get all of this at Crescent Springs. metaphysical store or any other metaphysical store. So this has your, oopsie, tongs and a little spoon, because you don't want to handle this, like, see how you can pick that up with the tongs? Okay, so what you'll do is you'll light a candle, because it takes a little while to get this lit, and you'll lit, you don't want to light the whole entire thing so that it's totally lit, because it'll burn through the incense too fast. So you light a candle and you hold it over, you know, maybe one end and then maybe the other end, but you don't want to get the entire thing lit up. And it's going to look gray like ash, but if you blow on it, it will look red, like a red hot coal, like a charcoal. And then so you get that lit, and then you also, this abalone shell will get hot, so you don't want to put it directly on anything. You'll put it on like a fireproof dish or something, right? So this is lit. And then you put like a pinch. This is, she sells Cat's Temple Purifier and Balancing Blend. And this is her proprietary blend. And I made her tell me what some of it was. I was like, yeah, what's in it? I need to know, because I needed frankincense. And she said this has frankincense and myrrh and other, quote, proprietary blend things. So this is actually, this says, used for purifying, creating sacred space, exorcism, meditation, balancing, and uplifting. It's called Cat's Temple Purifier and Balancing Blend. And this blend you would only get at Crescent Springs, which is off of 80th Street if you go on Metcalf. It's closed today, I think, but it's on 80th in downtown Overland Park. Cat's Temple Purifier, Crescent Springs. And this stuff is only $3.50. And then the dragon's blood. I bought dragon's blood because I know that there was, even though there's a huge amount of awesome energy in this house because of all the energy that I put in here all the time, I know that there was, I don't want to go into too much detail for out of respect for, but there was trauma that occurred here before. There wasn't, like, no one was murdered or anything like that, but there was just trauma that was here with the people that used to live here before, you know, and difficult emotions for many years. And so that actually can create tears in the energy, which also can act as a portal. And that actually, you can clear the space, but it also tends to get into the walls. It actually becomes a part of the structure. And so this dragon's blood is great for transmuting energy and old pain, all that old stuff that's causing some of those little tears. So this place is going to have like the best, it's going to be like a fortress, because it already has great energy here, but it's going to be like fortress level. So that's what I would use the dragon's blood for. But let's use Cat's blend for this. You would get a little pinch of, there's several different things in here, so you'd get a little bit of everything. Remember, this is lit. The charcoal is lit. You actually would take the spoon, and you're going to get a little bit of the different kinds of pieces and put it in the center. In this, I'm going to lift this out and show you. Don't lift it out when it's lit, because it's hot. It's a charcoal, but you would put it inside the bowl there, and you don't want to cover the whole top because it needs air for it to burn. And then it's going to burn like incense. It's going to smoke. I'm not burning any today because it is very strong fragrance. And in case anyone is sensitive to that, I was just respecting your, anyone's possible sensitivities it is natural. These are actual plant resins. Excuse me. These are all plant resins, but in case it's too strong for anyone. So you can also get all of those supplies. You can't get Cat's proprietary blend at any of the other stores, but you can get everything else. And they probably have a proprietary blend at every store that you go to. like Aquarius bookstore here in town too. White Light, I don't know. I know they're mostly a bookstore, but they might have supplies too. There's the Village Witch in Lawrence as well. So that would be, if you are like, I don't want to take any chances because it feels like something's going on and you want to use something more powerful than sage, then that's what I would recommend. And that's what I've been, in addition to burning everything and removing the portals, I also have been using that stuff. I'm already on my second round.
So. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a certain wood.
Oh,
Palo Santo.
Palo Santo. Yeah. I'm not very well versed in Palo Santo because I haven't, for whatever reason, been drawn to it, but maybe I need to be. But it's been my understanding that it's similar to sage in how it works. Mm-hmm. But I'll make sure to. Yeah.
Because I've used that. A friend of my son's gave him some.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something that's similar in strength to sage, mm-hmm. it works very similar. It's a piece of wood that you light the end, and it has a very nice aroma. Mm-hmm. And it works similar to that.
It doesn't smell near as bad as sage.
Oh. Yeah. I think it's a personal preference. So the best thing that you could do now is to now be empowered with the knowledge that you do need to do your, I'll call it energy self-care, just like you brush your teeth. Because if you don't brush your teeth, then all the germs come in and you get cavities. That's just how it is. So even if you are never, ever, ever targeted for a moderate or extreme attack, there's still just life energies out there. There's people send what I call energy daggers, any energy arrows. People who are angry, people who are jealous, just being normal, you know, hate to say it, but normal human beings, typical, maybe unawakened human beings, sending energy daggers at people. So it would be to your benefit to have a daily routine and a weekly routine, whatever you choose that may be, to keep your energy strong and keep your energy clear, and also your home and your vehicle. And that's just a matter of fact, you know, you're just not going to leave your front door open in the middle of the night, or on purpose walk through a bad neighborhood that has, that's dangerous. You're just not going to do that. So you now are reminded to do your energy self-care, and also reminded to trust yourself and use discernment with what kind of people, just in your life, what kind of people you'll spend your time with. If someone's really dark, you might reconsider whether, you know, you can love that. Maybe you need to be loving them from afar. And then also what kinds of events you go to, healers, it's actually a good thing to be extremely picky. That's not a bad thing. I would encourage you to be more picky, be more choosy about who you go to. Again, not at all out of fear or paranoia, but because you now are empowered with more knowledge than you had before. And my mantra lately, as I mentioned before, has been knowledge is power. It's not fear, it's power. I want to share with you something that happened a week ago when I was ending my time, my several days off in a row, and I was finishing up clearing stuff out. I literally walked into my house. I walked through the doorway, and I believe this was because of all of the angels that I've been calling in, and all of the clearing that I was doing, all of this stuff that I was doing. I had just come home from going out with friends. It was during the day. Walk through, and I immediately heard, I didn't audibly, externally hear it, I heard it in my mind. I heard, you must believe that you are strong because you are. And it hit me so powerfully. It felt like it came from outside of me, even though I heard it in my inner vision, inner hearing. I'm going to say that again. You must believe that you are strong because you are. If you go away today feeling afraid, then you have forgotten that you are strong. Because you are strong, and I'm not just telling you that. And the way that I heard that message, it wasn't, you are strong, like I need to repeat a mantra over and over again until I believe it. It was, you must believe this. Like, it's already true. Why don't you believe it? You have to believe it 110%. That you are strong. And what does that mean for all of you? I envision you walking into an event and your aura is strong and you are confident in your ability to discern the energies around you. You walk into a restaurant, into a store, you go to a psychic fair and you're meeting different healers. Your aura is strong and you are confident and you know that you have the discernment that you need. That's how I see what I see all of you stepping into. And one of the reasons why it's so important for me to teach all of you about this, because like I said before, I thought about, well, let me just teach about Sage and all the easy stuff. I could have done that, but that is a disservice to all of you. Because if you don't have this information, how are you going to know? First of all, if it ever happens to you, if you ever have a moderate attack, how are you going to know what it is if I was too afraid to tell you because I thought maybe you wouldn't like me or you might not ever come back to class? Because I will admit something personal about me is that I have some level of conflict phobia. It's not as extreme as it used to be, but there's still that little bit there that I was like, oh God, I don't want to tell them this stuff because it's scary and it's uncomfortable. But I realized after a split second that it would be a disservice to you if I didn't share it. For you personally, for your own knowledge and use and empowerment. But not only that especially this group, those of you, you are here because you are studying or are already a Reiki master. And because of that, there is a chance, depending on what path you choose, that you will have students, clients, and you absolutely have to have this knowledge so that you can teach them this. One of the reasons why the dark is able to disguise as the light so easily is because no one is willing to talk about the uncomfortable stuff. And so it can just get away with it. It's having a heyday. Having a heyday. Yeah. But with more people having the knowledge and the information, then I don't know what I want to say. The more people that have the knowledge and the information, then like for example, there's way less of a chance now that you're going to be sucked into a situation of the dark disguising as the light, because you're gonna see right through it now. So now there's how many people are here? That many more people that are not gonna be, that the dark isn't gonna be able to access you. Like it's accessing some other people out there that don't know any better because no one taught them. And here's another truth. If someone is already being manipulated, let's say they're getting sucked in, there's a healer that's manipulating them or a teacher or something. If that teacher or healer has already hooked their cords in and are manipulating them, if I try to tell them what's happening, they will not be able to hear it because they're already gone. They're already being manipulated. They will get defensive and angry with whoever is trying to save them and will defend the person that's controlling them. And this is why I realize it's important for me to tell you all and students who are not already being manipulated. And I've talked to other healers of the light about this, and they've said, yeah, but when I've tried to tell so-and-so what's happening, she just got really angry, the person being manipulated, she just got really angry, and now she won't talk to me anymore. And as I had this happen to me, and all, as I tried to intervene on people's behalves, and other people did too, what I was seeing was that if someone is already being manipulated, talking to them then, it's very unlikely that it's going to help them disengage from that person. So, as you all move forward, those of you who go on to teach, within your Reiki or whatever else that you teach, teaching your students about some of these concepts, whatever you feel comfortable teaching, is going to empower those people before anything could possibly happen, because that's the key time to do it. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm starting to fade. Okay, time for questions.
What was the other storm that you said? You said Crescent Spring, White Light, and there was no...
There's a... So the stores in Kansas City are Crescent Springs, White Light Bookstore, and Aquarius, and there are actually a couple of other places that are in the Northland, North Kansas City, but I don't, yeah. Anyway, I can't remember the names right now. Yeah, they're all good. Any other questions, comments? Don't be shy. Jessica.
I've been pretty sure for a while that there is a ghost in my house, but I've never really tried to communicate with him, but it's always like I've never gotten a bad vibe from him, and he's benign, and I've just kind of adopted this attitude of I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone,
mm-hmm.
and that's mm-hmm. just kind of how I've approached it. But
I'm really glad that you brought this up. Okay. So this is like a situation that's, it's not severe.
Yeah.
It's you feel like there's a ghost in your house. It's doesn't have an evil, you don't get an evil feeling from it. It's also, there are ghosts that could be evil, or there are also ghosts that can be mischievous, where they're constantly hiding your car keys and causing disruptions. You're not having any of those kinds of problems with it. There's a couple different philosophies about this. There's some that would say, you know, that soul is lost. You need to pray and do Reiki and help it move on to the light. And then there are others that would say, well, it's not hurting anything, just let it be. Also, a clarification that it could be a ghost, or it could be like an after image of previous energy. If it communicates in a way to where it's exhibiting an intelligence, then it is the actual spirit of a person. If you're just seeing like a kind of like an apparition of a person, but it's just like an image, then that is just like an after effect of the energy. It's leftover energy of that person. It's like an energy imprint,
yeah.
of whoever used to live there.
Like, I've never actually seen them, but I just, every once in a while, I get the sense that something's there, and it has always seemed more residual to me than anything else.
Yeah, so trust that. Now, you already know the answer.
All right.
That it's an energy imprint.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because our home, it was owned by the same family from when it was built up until we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's just still maybe a little bit of family energy there.
Yeah. And, you know, just to give you a little thought here, it is your home. You can move it out.
Yeah.
You can just be like, well, why does it need to be here?
Yeah.
You know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Just move it out. Ask it to leave.
And that's kind of what I've been going back and forth on. And I had a couple other thoughts. My husband, his deceased grandmother and sister, and sometimes his nephew, I believe, communicate with him regularly in his sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that's valuable to him. But I just, so my attitude has been to just kind of like leave it alone, but
yeah, because that is up to his free will.
I don't want to unintentionally block them out either.
No, you won't be. You won't be unintentionally blocking them out.
Okay.
For whatever reason, you just reminded me of something totally unrelated. So I want to talk about this. This is really, really important. Well, you were talking about sleep. That made me think of something. I was talking about portals earlier, about how non-beneficial, the phrase that I like to usually use is non-beneficial energies, because it can be, it doesn't have to be like the evilest evil thing. It could just be some energy that's just not good for you. It's not a good match for you. So anything on the spectrum of like, it's non-beneficial to, it's like pure evil, okay? You don't want any of that in your space. And we talked about portals. You want to make sure that there's no easy access for anything to come in. if you have a high vibration space anyway, just by the law of attraction, you're going to be attracting in things of like vibration. So if someone is living a really dark lifestyle and they have portals in their house, they're going to be a vibrational match for stuff that's also dark like them. But if someone is working with the light and they're a very devout person or a very spiritual person, and they're calling in angels all the time. I'm talking about my house, calling in angels all the time. It's very unlikely that something dark will come through a portal, because it's a mismatch of vibration. There's, of course, exceptions, like if someone's being targeted, then, and I had the exact items that were, you know, the portals. But there's something else. If you are someone who astral travels, and astral traveling, if you don't know, is where your spirit or part of your consciousness leaves your body and you go, you know, travel to another part of the world, or you travel out into the cosmos, or whatever.
Also want to know other planes.
Onto other planes, other dimensions. Thank you. And some people do it knowingly and will consciously, like on purpose, while they're awake, maybe during meditation time and things like that. But a lot of people actually will unknowingly or accidentally astral travel when they're asleep. And I've always been a very active astral traveler when I'm sleeping, because I would have different kinds of dreams. I would have the kind of dream that was, I know that was just a dream, and then I would have the other knowings of, I was actually moving through the cosmos, and I was like seeing outer space, and I was seeing, you know, all this stuff. So I was sure that I was astral traveling a lot at night. What I found out is that, and I was just like letting that happen because normally it's fine. But what I found out is that that's another access point, is that when you're coming back into your body, then other stuff can come with it. So Some of you don't astral travel, and so you don't need to worry about that. But any of you who might be doing it consciously during your meditations, or if you suspect, if you're consciously doing it during your meditations, do so with caution and with the awareness of what I just explained. And for me, since I was like not purposely saying I'm going to astral travel right now while I was asleep unconscious, what I've started doing is that at night, with all of the protective things that I do before I go to sleep, I have prayers that I say now, and I call in everybody that I call in, and I ask them, I tell them, please make sure that I don't travel, hold my spirit into my body so that I don't travel at night. I'm not supposed to go anywhere. And that's part of my whole protective protocol that I do, because I was so used to traveling. I was like, I can't just decide not to. I need to have some people, not people, but you know what I mean? I need to have some guardians making sure that I don't step out during the night. So that's an important factor. Any other questions? Thoughts? Responses? Yeah.
How often would you recommend saging your house? Like, I've been doing it
yeah.
like once a week.
Good question. So how often should you say, how often?
Part of my own care, you know.
Yes. So how often should you sage your house? So I would say general recommendation would be once a week. Like when you clean your house, you can sage it too. If there's like a lot of chaos going on in your life all of a sudden, or there's or you're just not sure if there's something weird going on, then you can sage every day. I can imagine, I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes. I probably would go home today and sage my house right away. And I think that's great. And also, it's great because you're clearing the energy, but also because it is an action that's going to make you feel better and feel more empowered, because that's how you should feel. You should feel empowered and knowing that you are strong and that you are doing the tools that you need to do. So by all means, don't go home and feel weird in your house and not do anything about it. Because by the way, your house is just fine. You just had a weird class that might make you feel weird. Okay, but if you need to take an action, you can go home and sage or use that spray. And by the way, I made that spray a month ago for the retreat. I didn't say I'm going to make this spray, so they're going to like all buy it, because like I didn't do that, but it's over there in case you want it. So, question.
From the time that you started using more powerful things, how many times did you have to do it for how many days to rid yourself of it? I mean, I know that once you stopped feeling like it was
bombarding me.
Yes, bombarding you, mm-hmm. and pinching on your energy.
Okay, I'm going to answer your question. So, to clarify, when I moved the objects out to the garage, the constant bombardment stopped, but immediately. And I also saged right away. I cleared my house. I did this angel tuning fork all around the house. I called in angels. I did sage. I did prayers. I did it through the whole house after I moved that out. And then I immediately, within seconds, felt better, even before doing the sage and clearing. But then that next day, I had a conversation with someone who was being controlled by this energy, and I shouldn't have done that, because then it gave me a huge warning that night. So I still had, so when I talked to my mentor, my intuition mentor, the one who used to be a ghost hunter, the next day, about it, she said it was able to do that because you need to completely get rid of those objects that were the portal. So I had to burn those And then it was like, felt like it took like 5 days of daily clearing and using the more powerful stuff. It felt like if immediately after burning the objects, it felt like it was no longer in the house, and it literally could not get in the house anymore. But it felt like it was still, just intuitively, I had this feeling like it was still trying to figure out. Yeah, it was still trying to figure out, like, is there some other way that I could get in? And because I kept removing all the, every portal in the house, I started to get this feeling like, from it, like, oh, this is too much trouble. It's starting to move on. Like, she's too much trouble. I'm going to move on. But that felt gradual over about 5 days. And that's with a situation, an entity that is extreme. Like, I would say that's on the extreme end. If you had a moderate situation and you use some of these more powerful tools like the frankincense and everything, I would say 1 to 3 uses. For some reason, 3 feels like a good number. 3 times. The first time is going to clear out most of it, and then by the third one, it's 100% gone, and you're deflecting anything like that.
And that was once a day for 5 days?
Yes. And as well as all my the other things as well. The prayers and the calling in the angels and protection and everything else. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. So if you have any questions, thoughts, if anything comes up for you at all, because I know this was not an easy class, please message me, and I will offer support, or if you, whatever is going on, then you just message me, okay? And I will respond and share whatever information I can. So.
I would just like to say thank you for trusting us to share this information.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah.
My daughter sees portals and people, and she can see demons.
And
she says when she sees them, she just has to pretend she doesn't see them because they won't, like, be in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's hard when you, like, some people are able to see stuff like that, and I was able to see it, and it is very difficult, and it's scary to see stuff like that. And you also reminded me of something that I want to share, was that another thing that became really clear to me when there was a lot of demonic type of stuff coming in, was that a lot of how that operates, and I know I said this before, but I'm going to say it more strongly, a lot of how that operates is through fear. And so it was just doing everything that it could to try to make me afraid. Like, it tried so many different approaches to make me afraid without, and I can't go into the whole story, but just suffice it to say, it would try to make me afraid one way, and that wouldn't work. So then, like, the next day, it would be something else. It would show up in a different form. And I, after a while, I realized that's what it's trying to do. It can't actually hurt me. It's just trying to make me terrified. And so then the more I got into my power, then the better I felt. But the other thing was that it actually did try to spiritually harm me, but it actually wasn't able to. Scared the fuck out of me. Sorry for the language, but yeah, because I didn't understand, because it was, well, obviously, because, but it wasn't able to actually do anything. Because if you're spiritually strong, and you are in your power, then, and you don't on purpose walk through a bad neighborhood, and you do your your security system and everything, then you're going to be fine. You're safe. You can't do anything. Okay, let me just think for a moment if there's anything that we need to close with. So you know you have your extra powerful tools of burning sacred incense. And today I would suggest that that you also go through your bedroom and just make sure that it's a sacred space. And if there's anything that you feel like lowers your spiritual security in your room, then I encourage you to do something about that, whether it's removing something, adding things, putting more sacred things on your bedside table, and again, not out of trepidation, but because you have more knowledge now and you're going to do these things just in case. Like I mentioned before, it's like going to the women's self-defense class so you can learn those techniques and you have that knowledge and that know-how. So, any other questions?
We did recently put up a large mirror in our bedroom. Would like covering that at night be helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, and you might not need to cover it all the time, but I can see how having this class and this conversation, it could bring up some of your, it just could bring up some things for you. And so just honor that. And so for however long you need to cover it, just because the class could have stirred some things up or some fears. So just cover that because then you'll just feel better. Because you haven't been having any attacks, but you'll just feel better. And then I would say just cover it at night, and then you probably don't need to take it down unless you need to.
So she could put chakramanic around all the walls and specifically target the mirror and close it as a portal. Give the command, the intent, to close it as a portal. Do the ceiling, the floor, the room, but she could also sage the house and salt the property. So
yeah, all those things.
Those things could be utilized, and especially since you've been feeling something else in the house, to reclaim the property actually for yourself, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Everything that you just said, ditto. Yeah, I would do that because and really reclaim your space because it is yours.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Well, you kind of make me wonder because my roommate that I do massage with, I share a room.
Mm-hmm.
She has at least 10 mirrors in her room, and we have an attached bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. I wish.
Felt really anything negative.
Right.
About that. It's just she had the room first, and I've moved into the room, and I've been there.
Yeah, I will say I don't really like.
I'm not that big on having that many mirrors.
I don't.
It's her room, and I just.
Yeah, I don't like that there's all those mirrors in there. But if you haven't been having problems, then that's good. I'm glad that you haven't been. Yeah, draw the power symbol over the mirrors, and ask for the same type of blessing and security that you would have over windows and doors. Just ask that there be. A special guardian angel or whatever you feel attracted to using, around around the room, and that if you're, for the most part, if you are really, really clear that only energies that of the light, that are of the light, are allowed to be present, then 99% of the time you're fine. Unless you accidentally, come across a really nasty, which happened to me, and it felt really threatened by me, I think, and that's why what happened. But 99% of the time, if you're just super clear about only energies that are from God, from the light, are allowed to be present, just radiating that Because I radiate that wherever I go. And that 99% of the time, it's that's all you need, really. But all the other tools are good, too. Okay, final questions. Okay, so I have homework for you. I wasn't sure how long all of this would take to get through. So before we go, we've got some homework.